Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Bajan, end zone, it is Walker, it is caught, it is the Bears in front in the final seconds, John A. Walker.
Individual performances stood out. You know, Daniel Hardy, I thought, was tremendous. Getting the sack fumble, that was huge for us, and that really changed the game. And then Jahdae Walker in particular there on that last drive was outstanding. So, you know, we'll take a look here at the tape. And you know, it's tough when it's the last time you're in the locker room with a 90-man roster and you know it's coming right around the corner here. So we'll have some tough decisions to make.
Ben Johnson talking about what went on Friday and how that plays into what will happen between now and tomorrow afternoon, when all of the teams have to have their rosters down to 53 guys. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. The person you see bopping on the Twitch is Carmen
Who's
Vitale.
Who's responsible for Migos right now? That's what I want to know.
Tanny.
Heck yeah.
You've got the best sound guy in the business.
Love it.
And he gets to stretch out a little bit and do some cool stuff. So he does. Makes everyone sound better. They always say it there in the Twitch. Let's make audio overlord that makes everyone sound better. That's what Chris Tannehill
does. Tanny does a tremendous job with everything he touches.
It's true. Shout out to Jason Benetti. I enjoyed seeing him being treated like the king that he is this week in Detroit. You know, really calling sweet. A Lions game and calling a Tigers game. And being golf carted from one venue to the other because they're very close to each other. I enjoyed that very much.
There was one guy booing, say, boo, you chose happiness, screw you. That was me. That was me booing Benetti.
You chose happiness and opportunity and money. How dare you?
How dare you?
Son of a... So anyway, Carmen's here. We're going to be talking a lot of football. We're also going to talk about Taylor Swift. I think that was Taylor Swift, but it wasn't Taylor Swift. Or was it really? And was Taylor in town? I don't know. Carmen barely knows who Taylor Swift is.
That's a stretch, but honestly, yeah, we can get to that.
We will get to that before we are done. When you look at the Bears roster,
yeah,
what intrigues you?
Okay, the biggest thing that intrigues me, given that Ben Johnson's background, me being able to cover Ben Johnson and seeing really fun things that he does with his offense, and where the strength of this team lies, is I'm very excited to see what I thought was going to happen last year under Shane Waldron, which is the 12 personnel usage, which is the two tight ends on the field, multiple tight end sets, because I think that the tight end position is very undervalued because of the fact that you have to act as a part of two different position groups. Mm-hmm. You have to sometimes attach to the formation and act like an extra lineman. Sometimes you're a receiver. Sometimes you're faking one, doing the other. The amount of mismatches that tight ends create.
Sometimes you're a fullback.
Sometimes you're a fullback. Sometimes you're coming out of the backfield. Sometimes there are so many nuances to that position that and the body type and the skill set that is a part of it allows for so many different mismatches because of, you know, who do you put on a tight end? A linebacker? Well, maybe he's too slow, because if you've got a tight end like Holston Loveland, who essentially just looks like a big receiver, runs like a big receiver, linebacker can't cover him. Or then do you put a safety on him? Well, safeties are smaller. Can they match up to the size of a tight end? This is the question that it just keeps defenses up at night so often when you have really good tight ends that you're facing, the George Kittles, the Travis Kelce's. They are such an incredible weapon. And if you have someone that knows how to use them, it's so much fun. And Ben Johnson, former tight ends coach, knows how to use them. So we've seen a little bit of it in the preseason when you have Holston Loveland and Cole Kmet right out there. And for as much as they are in competition with each other for snaps, there are going to be, I think, a lot of times when they're on the field together. And then who is that third tight end? Is it Durham Smythe? Because I think that he is going to be part of this team and be a part. Because Ben Johnson, that 13 personnel packages with three tight ends on the field, especially in those goal line and short yardage situations, he is notorious for doing that. And I'm so excited to see how that materializes, because I thought that that's what the Bears were going to do under Shane Waldron last year.
I was watching college football this weekend, and I'm watching the game in Ireland. And it's great way to kick things off. Iowa State, Kansas State.
It was so sloppy, too. I loved it. Right. It was in the rain.
Yes.
Oh, and overseas, it's always a crapshoot.
Yes.
I love it.
Great crowd, though. I thought the crowd was amazing for it. And that building is gorgeous.
It is.
Iowa State was playing a lot of 13 personnel. Mm. And I was sitting there going, 13 personnel, they ain't got no wide receivers on this team, and then they ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
So I love when you have a coach that is willing to do some of that, and people think that Ben Johnson's offense was just like run and shoot stuff, and that's not what they were doing. They ran the ball.
Yes.
They would get physical with people, and you're right. There's an opportunity for them to do a lot of 13 personnel and send three tight ends, and that's the gift of Sam Laporta or Holston Loveland, when you can be in 13 personnel, but you're kind of in 12 personnel.
Yeah, because he's just a big receiver. That's all he is. But he can block. We've seen Holston Loveland not only be a good blocker, but a willing blocker, which is half the battle when it comes to being a tight end. Because there's and this is getting a little bit more in the weeds, but
get into the weeds. Like, here's the beautiful thing about the Score listener and the Spiegel and Holmes show in particular.
Yeah,
they want you to get into the weeds on some of this stuff. Feel free, go. I always tell all of my football people, get as geeky as you want.
Okay, well,
we like to call we like to call it sexy football around here. So if you want to go do sexy football, do it.
Okay, well, with tight ends too, it's very interesting because of the fact that you look at the guys that are the highest paid in the league, and this all enters in. Trust me, agents make these guys aware of this. They all want those gaudy stats because those are the guys that get paid. The George Kittles, again, Travis Kelce's, the Trey McBride's in Arizona, who just signed that massive deal this offseason. It's the pass catching tight ends. And so you kind of see this shift. And then you also see, like you said, at Iowa State, everything matriculates upward when you're talking about schematics from high school to college, college to the NFL. The NFL is the last to get any changes. And it comes out of college because it's the talent pool that's coming out of college that kind of brings it. And so you see more 13 personnel, you see more receiving tight ends, and you see more tight ends that act just kind of as big receivers. And it's helping the position get paid higher. But it also kind of affects the guy's willingness to block, because why am I going to risk injury by putting my head down and blocking a defensive end when that's not what gets you paid? What gets you paid is being available in the receiving game and having those hands and doing and running those routes and all that stuff. I should be working with the receivers on all of that. So to have a willing blocker within a guy like Holston Loveland, who is so good in the receiving game, I really think that the Bears knocked it out of the park. And I'm not surprised, because again, Ben Johnson very well understands this position, knows what to do with it. He was elevated, for those that don't know, to offensive coordinator in Detroit from the tight ends position. So he was a tight ends coach there, elevated to offensive coordinator after that first year under Dan Campbell. And so I'm very excited, because I think that's where the strength of this team lies. It's going to have to marry up with the run game. And that's another thing that I'm very interested to see, because what is DeAndre Swift? Like, is he really that three down back, or do you go to a seventh round rookie as your, Kyle Manunga is going to be part of this scheme. He's going to be part of that running back room, a significant part of that running back room. And that's not something you get to say all the time. I know they just played a team who got their running back out of the seventh round in Isaiah Pacheco. But, and you know, Kyle Manunga doesn't exactly run like he bites people. But...
I love that.
Have you not heard that?
I've heard when Pacheco runs like he's angry at the ground. I've never heard runs like he bites people.
It was a tweet, and then I think I'm pretty sure Isaiah quote tweeted it, or one of his teammates did, or something, and it went into. I'm terminally online. On top of being very much a football geek, I'm also terminally online. So it blew up. I think a year or so ago, where it was like Isaiah Pacheco runs like he bites people, and it. It could not be more accurate.
We made the comparison last week. If you're watching Cubs baseball, Matt Shaw runs like Isaiah Pacheco. And it's funny.
So by the transitive property, Matt Shaw runs like he bites people.
He runs like he bites people.
This is a rolling ball, a butcher knife.
That's right. And if you were wondering how is Kyle Manunga closer to making this team, today's cuts would tell you yes. Here's who they cut. They cut Millard Bradford, Xavier Carlton, Alex Cook, Power Eccles, Caleb Hayes, Austin Reed, who will probably be re-signed to the practice squad,
yeah,
and Ian Wheeler. So there's a running back that got cut. And also, they waived Royce Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are someone who's rooting, like Speegs and I have a bet, I think that Manunga is going to get cut and then re-signed. He thinks he's going to just make the roster. So we have a bet that we're going to the firehouse and loser pays.
Ooh, can I get on that? Because I'm with Speegs.
I know. Most people are.
Yeah. I think Manunga is going to make this roster outright. And I think he's going to be an actual part of this kind of stable of running backs.
It would be cool if he did, because that's a hard thing for a seventh rounder to do,
which
was the whole reason why I made the bet. Like, seventh round running backs get cut all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They make it back to a roster.
Sure.
But they get cut. So I put in the provision of it needs to be after week one.
Okay. He needs to be on the roster after week one. Okay.
Because, you know, the veterans then, the ones that they don't want to pay, that's usually when they sign those guys. So if he's on the roster after week one, then I got to pay at Firehouse. And you're more than welcome to come along.
Heck yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. I mean, you sit there and eat and talk about ball and all that other stuff. So good for Kyle Manunga. I feel bad for Ian Wheeler. He's another one. I wonder if he's
such a good story.
Is it 16 now? Like, you can put 16 guys on the practice squad. Yeah. I wonder if he might make it back too. Because we've got questions here. Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manunga have both had some injuries over the last couple of weeks. They still got time. We got a lot of time before they have to get ready for the Vikings. But the other thing, and one of my issues with Manunga, is watching him in pass pro was not great that first week. That was a rough welcome to the league moment for him versus Miami.
Yeah, and obviously Roschon Johnson has a little bit more experience in that pass protection, and he is a bowling ball. But I mean, Kyle Manunga he's built like Roschon. He's tough, and he is a bowling ball. And I think that he can stand up to pass protection with a little bit more experience. But I mean, and it's only preseason too, but everybody has that welcome to the league moment where you're like, oh, these are not college defensive ends anymore.
Do we think that Walker makes the team? And here's why I ask this question. It's not just based off of what happened at the end of Friday night's game.
Right.
If you go back and look, here's how I would describe it, Carmen. You tell me if I'm off base.
Okay.
There are plenty of guys that are walking around that, compared to ordinary humans, are incredible athletes that are playing professional sports. And then there are guys you go, wait, I've seen elite players do that. I've seen catches from Walker that I go, that's what like real dudes in this league do.
Yeah.
And he's done it repeatedly, like toe tapping or getting horizontal with the ground and still making a catch.
Adjusting in the air to the ball, tracking the ball. Yeah. Like understanding leverage, which is, we've seen him make those plays in practice too. In joint practices, especially, I think he had one. And you're like, okay, if he understands that now, how much, like, where is his ceiling? I think the biggest question then with him is, what is he on special teams? what can he do for them on special teams?
He's going to have to be like a gunner, right?
If he, and if he's a good gunner, then yeah, I think that he is. It's very possible and probably probable that he makes this roster. It's just where, because this is a very deep room. The wide receiver room is a deep one. So what are you going to do?
Does Tyler Scott end up being like, is that where we're at, where it's Walker and his upside and size? Because yeah, he is prototypically wide receiver built at 6'3", 206, mm-hmm, and played at a big program.
That's an outside receiver for you.
Absolutely. Right. That's an X.
An X. Yes. Yeah.
And then you have Tyler Scott, who we've all kind of just been waiting. Like, we see it and we go, There's something, right? But we don't see it consistently enough. Right. And do they end up, because it's Ben Johnson walking in and saying, well, I was on the staff when we picked Walker up. Right. I wasn't here when you guys drafted Tyler Scott.
That matters. That matters
Tell them why it matters.
It matters because these are the guys that you're, especially when it's your first year, you're staking your reputation on the guys that you bring in. Every person you bring in is it's an opportunity for you to say, I was right. Look at, I know what I'm doing. This is what the guy that fits my scheme. This is the guy that fits what I want to do. He has the skill set that I need to operate this offense. And it could mean, that's what makes the difference. And that's how slim the margin for error is when you're talking about these cuts and making the 53-man roster, is you could still be a good player. And this could not be at all something, it's not an indicator of how good you are as a player. It's an indicator of your fit. And this offense is going to be drastically different than what the Bears were built for last year.
If I look at the two guys, and I'm trying to game this out, Scott versus Walker. The other thing that I think is interesting is with them drafting Luther Burden III, mm-hmm, and having DJ Moore, you have two guys that no matter where you put them, they're comfortable.
Yeah.
If you've got DJ lined up wide, he can do that. If you want him in the slot, he can do that. And with DJ, if you want to put him in the backfield, he can do all of that stuff. When I look at Tyler Scott, he is a prototypical slot receiver.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
Physically. With Walker, I go, since I've got a couple of guys who can do that, I have one prototypical X,
right,
in Rome.
In Rome.
And other guys that can do it.
Right.
But you're kind of that prototype. Are you better off knowing that you have two guys that you know, exactly, can play inside, plus Colston Loveland?
Yes.
And if you wanted, and that's the versatility that you're talking about inside of how an offense is built up. Do I need another slotty guy when I also have Alamide Zaccheaus? Instead of having a prototypical X receiver to play around with and match up with.
Yeah. And that, again, that's exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to fit and skill set and size and all of that kind of stuff. So it might not even be a commentary on is Tyler Scott the better choice or is Jahdae Walker the better choice or the better player? It's who fits better, where am I thinner? And the answer is, yeah, I'm thinner on the outside with those X receivers. Especially because I have multiple guys that can now kind of move about on the different positions on the line of scrimmage for a wide receiver. So this is why these things are so hard. And it's why it's really, you know, those guys walk into your office if you're Ryan Poles and you're just like, man, I'm sorry, but this is the reality we're living in. We have this many spots. And then, you know, that gets pared down even further because there are also, it's part of the strategy. It's part of coaching philosophy or GM philosophy of how many offensive linemen do you keep on the roster? How many receivers do you keep in this room? And that varies by team. So again, that's another thing that kind of you're up against is, all right, again, this wide receiver room is so deep. Mm-hmm. And so how many receivers are the Bears even going to keep? Is it six? Is it seven? Is it eight? I don't know the answer to that. So that's the hard part of all of this. And it makes it hard on people like you and me trying to predict who's going to end up staying.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
It's fun. But it's a fun thing to do as we talk about these guys' lives and careers. Before we get out of here, we are going to give away Chris DiStefano tickets. He's going to be performing live at the Chicago Theater on Friday, September 5th.
And we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets right now. When you hear this.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
what it is.
It's what it is. Jesus.
Then you should call 312-540-0670. Football Conversation with Carmen Vitale is going to continue. Because while I was watching Friday night's game, and obviously there's going to be a reaction about things, and you start thinking about Tyson Bagent's contract, you start thinking about other coaches around the league, I've got a binary question for you.
Okay.
That I hope we are able to find nuance in after I ask the binary question about quarterbacking and coaching. You game for it?
Yeah.
All right, more with Carmen Vitale, Spiegel and Holmes here on the score.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydrometrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Charles Tillman. Charles, thanks for being on the show.
Y'all ready for me to go?
No, not.
You didn't take no calls or nothing?
Well, if you want to hang on for a minute, we'll take a break and we'll come back and take some calls.
Is it a media minute or is it like a black person minute?
It's a black person minute because a black person drives this show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We got to check in with Charles. I think he's teaching football over in Europe right now. Like, he's doing, like, stuff with NFL Europe. Weird.
Alex, did you see him?
Yeah, Alex.
I think he was on the flight, right? No?
Was he there with
no,
you?
No, it was someone
else.
Can
I tell you my childhood Peanut Tillman story?
Please.
He put on a football camp in my town every summer. And I never, like, could work up the nerve to, like, go join it because obviously it was mostly boys and, like, whatever. But I would stand at the fence and I would watch it. Every single, like, it was like for a week or whatever. It was at Elmhurst College. And I would just stand there at the fence and I would watch it. And I loved it. And I was like, I was so enamored with everything. And I was just like, oh, I wish I had the nerve to do that. I was like, you know, 11, 12, just stand at the fence, wishing I was out there.
I mean, look, he's in some of the videos that he's put back that he's doing that over mm-hmm. there with
I mean
young...
that's while he was playing, so like he was doing like these football camps during the summers and it was so cool.
I've been trying to make the argument that he's on the Hall of Fame ballot. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
He revolutionized the position. People play the position differently because of, and they still to this day call it the peanut punch.
His name is mentioned every week
in every game.
Yep. Yep. And when you add that to, there's no one, I think he has, 44 forced fumbles. There's no other defensive back that has 30.
Yeah.
In the history of the game.
No. He revolutionized the cornerback position.
I agree wholeheartedly. And he will knock stuff out of your hands if you're just hanging out with him.
I love that.
It has happened. He is also quite the prankster.
Is he? Oh, I haven't actually like met him. And it would be him, and honestly, which is wild, I haven't met Lance Briggs either, and he's my favorite player of all time.
Really?
Yes.
I would have figured there would have been...
We missed each other on so many different things. Right. I'm so mad.
I'm making that happen. Although, y'all got beef.
I know we do. That's how much I love him, is that I'm willing to overlook the fact that he went to the University of Arizona.
Yeah, he is not a fan of Arizona State.
I know. I'm not a fan of the University of Arizona, but I'm a fan of Lance Briggs. I have his jersey.
We're going to make that happen. That's a connect that we can definitely do around these parts. That voice is Carmen Vitale. And if you're watching on Twitch, that face is Carmen Vitale. She's here with me until 6 o'clock, sitting in for Speaks. Anthony Heron will sit in on tomorrow's show. Russ Dorsey will sit in on Wednesday show. No show Thursday, then Friday, I don't care, because I'm on vacation. Actually, I'm not even on vacation. I'm got a day off is basically what it is. I've been thinking about this because... Tyson Bagent got his deal last week, and it's so funny. My buddy Rick Camp said this in our group chat, and I think he's so on about it. The Shadur conversation to me is similar, not the same, but similar to the Tyson Bagent conversation. We're talking about how good he is and how good he can be. But I did really think this weekend about the idea of how much a great teacher can mean for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so I kept thinking about this, and with knowing that you were going to be on the show today, I thought about this because you cover the NFC North. Mm-hmm. And what Kevin O'Connell has done with quarterbacks over the last couple of years is kind of amazing. So here's my binary question, where I hope we can find nuance inside the conversation.
Sure.
What matters more, the skill level of the quarterback or the coaching prowess of the coach?
It has to be the coach. For the reason that you just already stated, I go right back to Kevin O'Connell and what he did in the wake of Kirk Cousins' injury, where, I mean, he was playing live-action Madden with guys off the street, and they were winning games. And then, if you take that a step further, what he did last year with Sam Darnold, who was very much considered a lost cause at that point, but like had all the talent. He was a top five pick, and you're like, or first overall pick, right?
No, Darnold wasn't first overall. Was he third or fourth?
Third.
Something like, yeah. He couldn't have been.
Top five.
Was he really?
I was right. Okay. Regardless, clearly had a lot of.
So I thought third.
Third. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a lot of, you know, talent coming out of college, came out of a big time program and went to the dumpster fire that is the New York Jets. And you're like, all right. So I don't know how you can argue against that coaching matters, because coaching also so heavily influences the environment that you're in as a young quarterback. They are in control of the entire offense. And if you want to go beyond the division, beyond what Kevin O'Connell was able to do, I mean, you can go to San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, who there was such a large discourse over, does he deserve to get paid? Isn't this just the system that Shanahan has instilled? Isn't that why he's a good quarterback? Would Mr. Irrelevant be the quarterback that he is if it weren't for Kyle Shanahan? So we can't talk out of both sides of our mouths here if you're saying that, all right, the skill level. And then, again, look at what happened to Caleb Williams last year. I mean, we really don't have to go far to have this conversation.
That's what I was thinking about.
And, like, I can take you all over the league when you talk about situations that quarterbacks were brought into, and it's why I'm very confident in what J.J. McCarthy is going to be.
Can I tell you a secret, Carmen?
Well, to me and like whoever's listening?
Just between the two of us.
Oh, it's just us.
I am,
all right, guys.
I am worried about the Carson Wentz thing up there, because Carson Wentz has talent.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be coached by a coach that knows how to handle guys who don't have talent and make them talented. And I know that he's got some personality quirks that have sometimes made it so that he's hard to love. But I look at that and go, oh, that's one of those under the radar moves when in week 13, you're like, oh, JJ McCarthy's out for a month. Why is Carson Wentz now got a 100 passer rating four games in a row?
And he probably would if that were to be the case. Okay. I tweeted this out when that news broke where I was like, I can fix him. Kevin O'Connell, probably. I've also dubbed Kevin O'Connell's school for quarterbacks who can't quarterback good. Like from kids Blue who can't read good. Yeah. And it never fails, but Kevin O'Connell works overtime to make that happen. And there is so much that happens on that headset before it cuts off. It cuts off 15 seconds before the play starts, for those that don't know, your communication between the quarterback and the head coach. But the way that Kevin O'Connell, like I said, is playing live action Madden with these guys, but also is such a good and incredible teacher in the classroom. I think that the Carson Wentz move very much was insurance that if something happens with JJ, because he, like, throughout his rehab process, JJ did have a couple setbacks. Mm-hmm. And I think that you want to insulate as much as possible. You bring a veteran in there who also has all this experience that can rub off on a young quarterback as well. I think that was a great situation. I don't think that Carson Wentz is going to steal the job from JJ McCarthy. And I also think that Minnesota is working overtime to keep how well JJ McCarthy is doing kind of
keeping
under wraps.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Because they did cut like all of their other quarterbacks and then sign Carson Wentz.
Right. No, I think they have full confidence in JJ because he is entering into, going back to this nuanced discussion of, is it the coach or is it the quarterback? The coach is responsible for the environment with which the quarterback is in, not just teaching the quarterback directly, which is also the case usually if you have an offensive head coach, especially. JJ McCarthy is entering the best possible situation for a young quarterback, for any quarterback.
He got to sit and learn.
He got to sit and learn, which we've seen works over and over again. And at the end of the day, 18 is down there somewhere. Justin Jefferson is down there somewhere. And if you just chuck the ball down the field, odds are that he's going to come down with it.
And in 3 weeks, Jordan Addison
will also be down there.
He'll be down there somewhere too.
And then you've got Aaron Jones. They re-signed him. You've got TJ Hawkinson, who is a top five, top 10 at least tight end in the league. And then you also have this bad, you know what, defense under Brian Flores, which I am...
you can say. I know Mitch scared you because we were talking.
Like, I was saying, can I say ass, badass defense? Okay,
yeah, badass
I know,
Mitch defense scared me. You can say.
I don't also have, I mean, you know me, Lawrence. I have the mouth of someone who has worked around football coaches for a very long time. So I can't always.
It's true.
There's been times on Fox Sports Radio where my producers have had to dump what I just said because, you know, whatever. So I'm trying to be good.
That happens on this show, too.
I don't like that kind of talk. Now, just stop it. It upsets me.
Is that my mother? but I really, my train of thought has just completely derailed. No, I really think that, you know, you limit the scoring opportunities for opponents so you don't have to score a whole lot of points in order to win. You also, Brian Flores' defense can take the ball away too, give you extra chances, get you extra reps if you're JJ McCarthy. I just think that this is such a good situation. And then on top of that, you have one of the best, if not the best quarterback developer in the league. I really have high hopes for how this is going to go in Minnesota, and that's not welcome news to Bears fans, I'm sure, or anybody else in the NFC North, but I don't think they're going to roll over this year, even if it is a little bumpy in the beginning.
So Tanny came to me when I brought this topic up, and he's like, hey, your guy was talking about Caleb. And I was like, which one of my guys was it that was talking?
Lawrence has a lot of guys.
Yeah, that's true. And legitimately, this is actually one of my guys.
Yeah.
Sam Acho and I, for 2 years, did a show together here on The Score. And I know you know Emmanuel Acho.
And I know Sam, too. Yeah. I was just with Sam this summer at a pass rush retreat.
But Sam is, of the two, he's the one who's not really takey.
Right.
What goes on at a pass rush retreat? It sounds like a fascinating event.
It was a fascinating event. It was BT Jordan, who is a pass rush kind of coach, trainer. He worked with the Broncos last season. He worked with the Seahawks. He puts on this essentially camp. It's like tight end U for pass rushers. And I got to go. It was at ASU. BT invited me. And it was awesome. I got to be a fly on the wall with a bunch of NFL defensive ends. It actually started as a nose guard retreat or a nose tackle retreat. And like that ended up, I guess Rashawn Gary just showed up anyway. And then,
sounds like you have to order a lot of food for that one.
What's funny is the first day they didn't order food and the guys were so cranky. I was sitting in the classroom with them in ASU's meeting room and all these guys were like, you couldn't even get us Chick-fil-A? Like, what's happening here? And I'm like, because I've also gone to O-line masterminds and yeah. Let me tell you, there is a lot of food. There's a wing eating competition at O-line masterminds.
Our guy Olin was at the O-line
masterminds. Yes, I've seen Olin there.
Which didn't you do drills with someone or why am I remembering that? Like,
yeah.
Who did you do drills with?
I've done drills with a few guys. So actually, the Bucks were really cool in letting me just kind of be around. So sometimes like in practice or in camp, I was allowed to kind of stay out there even when the media had to go away because I worked for the team. So the O-line coach there would sometimes like bring me in and make me like play like a blitzing linebacker if they were just like staging things, not in like real practice, but like in indies off to the side when they were just trying to stage things, he'd just be like, Carmen, stand in there. And so I would. And then like I had like a bunch of the guys would be like, Carmen, half speed. You're not running into me like that. Because I would get this look in my eye like, this is my shot.
Oh, Rudy Vitale over here.
Singletary eyes going.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always said I would be a middle linebacker basically because of Lance Briggs. I would be a middle line. I would be an interior linebacker if I was to play football. So I've gotten to do that. I've also gotten to train with A.Q. Shipley, who was a center, long-time center.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, long-time center in the league. He's now the Cardinals color analyst for their radio broadcast, which is so exciting for him. But he also trains offensive linemen in the offseason. And so I've gotten to train with him, and I've been put through workouts with them. And when I tell you, it's absolutely insane. Like, I did, like, a 15-minute version of what he puts the guys through, and I couldn't, like, my legs were sore for a week.
Wow.
It's wild.
All right. So
anyway, we've derailed that.
So I'm glad. It was my fault.
No, it's a good derail.
I just pictured like you go get your coffee in the morning and then there's a left tackle blocking you and you have to like swim move everyone.
I mean, that's essentially what was like the amount of like when the guys were just like walking from place to place, the amount of like stutter steps and like swim moves that were happening. It was awesome. Yeah,
that's what I pictured happening.
No, like it's legitimate. And I got to be in, you know, a literal fly on the wall. I was just sitting in the back of the auditorium as they're going through tape and like talking about certain techniques. So cool.
This is why Carmen's here, because she's got all these stories. She knows everyone around the league, and she is willing to go and play linebacker in drills.
Yeah, it was real fun.
I know, right? Living out the dream of everyone who is listening. We'll save the Ocho tape for another time. We need to take a break. When we come back, let's do some detective work. Was that Taylor Swift? No. But we're still going to talk about it next here on The Score.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
As we all know, you know, you guys have a lot of male sports fans that listen to your podcast. Yeah. And I think we all know that if there's one thing that male sports fans want to see in their spaces and on their screens, it's more of me.
So I'm looking up the episode because we did this last week just to kind of check in. I'm looking up the YouTube of the New Heights episode with Taylor Swift on it. 20 million views.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
Actually, my fiance brought up something to me about that episode.
Which is?
And it's so true. Taylor Swift fans, Swifties, will make months of content based on like the four total minutes that she talks during a concert. So to have her on a 2 hour long podcast talking, this is the most anyone's heard Taylor Swift talk in succession.
And talking about stuff that she's not ordinarily comfortable talking about publicly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then you have the album reveal thing that went on there and all that stuff.
The countdown and crashing everything and yada, yada, yada.
Well, that shows brand loyalty by her fan base. They are a very powerful block of people.
Yes.
When it comes through.
Yes.
So that wasn't her on Friday night at the no. Chiefs-Bears game, right?
No.
Because it looked like her, but it was one of those things where if you tilted your head, it's like, yeah, I guess it kind of looks like her.
I mean, the bangs, the red lip.
That young lady's clearly doing that on purpose.
You know, you could scan every suite at Arrowhead Stadium, and you could either find Taylor Swift or find a doppelganger of Taylor Swift. There is a discussion happening amongst the crew to decide whether or not that was actually Taylor Swift or just a very, very accurate doppelganger. We can't ask Travis right now.
Did Jim Miller find this?
This was a Jim Miller special?
Can we get social to chime in?
Either way, my daughter said get her autograph. So whether she's real or not, I'll take it.
Pacheco and Kareem Hunt have started it off.
You know, when you go to a game, like, I mean, it's not uncommon, I think, for women to also wear like red lipstick because it's a Chiefs color.
Sure.
You know, so I think like there could be some sort of
give
like the benefit of the doubt to like maybe she just happens to have bangs and happened to wearing red lipstick, but then also like when Taylor Swift is part of this fan base, I think that you probably know what you're doing. I don't know. I had a confession for you, Lawrence, when this topic was brought up in our pre-show meeting,
which was kind of shocking because
The producers, you guys were like, hey, Danny Coon here, we're like, hey, like, you want to talk about the Taylor Swift doppelganger? And I'm like, listen, I might be the only woman on the planet that didn't know a whole lot about Taylor Swift, and it took her dating Travis Kelce for me to know anything about her.
And you're smack dab in the demo. Like,
I embrace my basic white girlness. Like, I am absolutely the most basic white girl in so many ways. I think I killed Lawrence. But like, I don't know. Here's the thing. And I'm going to try to delicately do this so I don't get Swifties mad at me, because God forbid, like that's my worst fear right now. I love Taylor Swift as like, I think her music is great.
She's an incredible businesswoman.
She's an incredible businesswoman. She's so incredibly talented. She's funny, as we saw on the New Heights podcast, which like people had said, but you didn't really know because she hadn't talked a whole lot publicly. And I love that. And I would probably go see her in concert, but the fan base is so intimidating to me. Like the Swiftie fan base is like, I just feel like I would feel so out of place because like, I don't know all of the lore, and like the lore goes so deep. like the rabbit holes that people go down because, and this is like, this is what I've now learned. What's really funny is my fiance is more of a Swiftie than I am. And he has told me, I literally looked to him and I was like, what does this mean? And he's like, well, see, this is the Easter egg from this. And she wore this outfit there. And so that's why this is important. And then that's why Swifties think this and that and the other. And I'm like, oh my God. But Taylor Swift apparently does do all of this. She like puts these little Easter eggs in and she can do it like years ahead of time, which is just the foresight on all of that. It's just insane. And to be that detail oriented, I'm like, she joked on that podcast. She's like, you know, give me like 13 months and I could probably be an analyst. I'm like, you know what, girl? You probably could. The amount of detail that you like go into.
It sounds like, because I say this to sports fans all the time, because, you know, I'm a bit of a geek. I love my sci-fi. I love comic books. I love all that stuff, right? And I always say, you guys cosplay as football players every single week of the season. You're wearing a Brian Urlacher jersey. You're wearing a Lance Briggs jersey. It's no different from me wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt, okay? What I feel like when I hear people talk about Taylor Swift and the Swifties and what you're saying about the lore, it sounds like Star Wars to me.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like how, like, wait, can I just jump into this? You can, but everyone's going to have an opinion on when you jump in, why you jumped in,
and like, and yeah, and I'm like, from what I hear of Taylor Swift concerts, they're incredibly welcoming. It's a really positive environment. It's a really great environment. That's why people bring their daughters, like their young girls, and all that other stuff. But I am just personally a little intimidated by, and that's probably something. It's more of a commentary on me. Where, like, you know, I don't like doing things if I'm not good at them. I don't like going into things that I don't know a whole lot about. And so I think that's, I'm a little intimidated by it. But I've learned so much more about Taylor Swift since she started dating Travis Kelce. Because I was like, wait, that's my world. Travis Kelce and the NFL, that's my world. So she's crossing into that. Okay, cool. Like, let me connect some dots here.
I do like that there has been a bond maybe with that dad who was trying to get his daughter into football, there have been a lot of those stories of, this is how my daughter and I now bond over this, and now it expands, right? It's not just you're watching the games that she's a, you find out that she kind of likes what you like, and you're sitting there on the couch, and then you have this cool thing that ends up happening. To me, that's a net positive.
I agree, and that's what I've said kind of this whole time, where I'm like, listen, the NFL, I'm not into gatekeeping the NFL. I'm not going to gatekeep football. Like, if you want to, if this is what it takes for you to gain exposure to this wonderful game that, you know, I love so much, you love so much, so many of us love, then that's great. That can only be a good thing. Like you said, a net positive. And I mean, if you look at the demographics that's watching the NFL, this started pre-Taylor Swift. Nearly half of the demographics that watch football these days are women.
Correct.
And I see that even like in the content that I put out, in the comments that I get, like I've seen more and more women engaging with me about football. And that started, again, pre-Taylor Swift. And I think it's only, you know, Taylor Swift has exacerbated that in a good way.
We're going to take a break. We'll maybe put some more Tay-Tay conversation out there for the clicks. But when we come back, Carmen covers the NFC North. We have not spent enough time talking about the NFC North. We're going to change that next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.